2019, I'm Lisa Feely, your host for An Accountable Catholic. As followers of Jesus, we need to commit to being more accountable, especially for our neighbors, our loved ones, and definitely our church community. And tonight, I have a wonderful person on board with us as our guest, Jesse Romero, who is a Catholic author and evangelist. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm very good. So many of our listeners have probably heard of you, but just in case they haven't, could you share a little bit about your background and how you came to where you are and how God led you down this path?
I'm a full-time Catholic lay evangelist. I'm bilingual. I speak Spanish and English. I'm also an apologist and an author. But before that, I was a cop for 25 years, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, retired, and started a second career as a Catholic missionary preacher. Had a conversion probably about 30 years ago. Through the Charismatic Renewal, Life in the Spirit Seminar, Catholic Apologetics, and that changed my whole focus. My whole focus years ago was boxing, karate, police work. When I fell in love with Christ and fell in love with the church, it redirected my passions, and I began voraciously studying the Catholic faith, and I've been preaching the gospel now full-time for about 15 years.
Fantastic. And you came from Mexico, is that right, with your family?
My parents are from Mexico. I was born in Los Angeles.
Okay, California. All right. But you're always Catholic as a kid and grew up in the Catholic faith. Very good.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Born and raised Catholic, yeah.
Very good. Well, tonight's topic is going to be a hot one, probably hit home, close to home for a lot of us. But it's about pride and accountability. And so having wrote a book myself on accountability and the importance of it, as Catholics, I feel that we are called, as Catholics and Christian leaders, to be more accountable. And pride and accountability to me go hand in hand. So pride obviously is a source of many sins. And so tonight, you know, as we discuss that, if you have some thoughts, I guess, on how pride plays into accountability, I'd love for you to kick us off on your thoughts on that and how we can do better to not be as prideful. To me, we think it's really all about us today, don't we?
That's right. The church teaches, some of the great minds of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, and others, they teach that the fall of this angel, a good angel that God created called Lucifer, they teach that it was a sin of pride, that he no longer wanted to worship God. He wanted to be like God. He knows he can't be God, but he wanted to be like him. He wanted to usurp the authority of God. And the great minds of the church say that he fell into the sin of pride. And now, again, pride is a sin that's described in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It's one of the seven deadly sins. Sloth, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, avarice, pride. You'll find most of the spiritual writers, when they talk about the seven deadly sins, these are the main weapons that Satan uses and demons through ordinary temptation over and over and over again. They're very predictable. Those seven sins essentially cover all of human behavior, or should I say all of disordered human behavior. And so they don't have to change their game plan, but generally you'll find the great minds of the church, they'll say that of all the seven deadly sins, that pride is the chief amongst all of them, because the great spiritual writers in the church will say that the sin of pride, when you think too much of yourself and God is not in the picture, when you embrace a sin of pride, it's easy to fall into the other six deadly sins.
That's right.
And so that's usually known as the chief of all the seven deadly sins.
Right. And to me, it seems like Satan, that's like chocolate or a cute little puppy, right? I mean, pride's pretty easy to fall into, especially in today's day and age. And I think that's, to me, what's hitting a lot of our younger generation as well, is they, with all the technology and everything, social media, it's all about what I did, right? What I achieved and look what I've done in life. And, you know, I get all the credit. And then all of a sudden, if you have so much room to me thinking it's about yourself, then there's not enough room for it's about God. And I think so many people today forget, at least what I was raised on as a Catholic all my life, is that I am here for God. I am. It's all about living God's word and trying to become, right, eventually a saint, try to make it into heaven by realizing that everything I've achieved in this God's beautiful earth he gave us is all because God gave me those talents, right? God put me in a certain spot to achieve certain things. I can't do anything without God. So, I mean, I always try to, my husband and I teach our children, look, you better leave room for understanding it's not about you. It's not about what you did. And when something really hurts and we don't get our ways, I think one of my favorite songs is Unanswered Prayers by Garth Brooks, because we think we know, but I always try to teach our children, anybody I mentor, you know, your view is maybe, one little part of it. I mean, God's looking at our entire life in a blink of an eye. I mean, he's got the plan. So you can't, pride's not a good thing to have, right? And it's, to me, you can't be fully accountable as a Catholic, as a Christian, and as a leader with moral leadership, let's say, and be full of pride. It's inconsistent.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that he says is, in order to get to heaven, you have to have the faith of a child. Okay. He didn't say you have to have the faith of an adult. He didn't say you have to be the Speaker of the House. He didn't say you have to be a president. He didn't say you have to be a congressperson. He didn't say you have to be a Supreme Court justice. He says you have to have the faith of a child. What is the faith of a child? Look at a child, the docility and the trust that they have, you know, especially before they hit the age of reason, when they see mommy or daddy, mommy, they raise their arms up. They feel so secure. They just rest in their mom or dad's chest and arms. That's docility. That's surrender. That's humility. Knowing I can't take care of myself. I need you to take care of me. And I trust and surrender everything I am to you. That's what gets you to heaven. But the devil wants you to be inflated with the super ego we call pride. And essentially pride is this. You have, as Catholics, we worship God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somebody who's full of himself, full of pride, they worship me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. And here's something also interesting about, if you want to know what humility is, let's take a look at the angels. What do angels do before God? Matthew 18 tells us, angels face God. They have a face-to-face encounter with God, and they behold his majesty, the beatific vision, and they behold his grandeur, because they know that he is everything and we are nothing. And so they behold him in humility and in love. Now, what do? Demons are fallen angels that turn their back on God and now face the world. So when you, as a human person, when you turn your back on God, you're imitating the diabolical. And when you embrace the titillation and short pleasures of this world and turn your back on God, you are following the pattern of the diabolical. When you're in prayer and in faith, and in the sacraments, you're facing God and you're following the pattern of the angels.
And I think in today's day and world, what I hear more as well in their reasoning of falling away is, oh, well, you know, no good God would allow this to occur. No good God. They want to blame God for something that, you know, who knows why something happened, right? So much can happen in this world. And there's a lot of people, you know, that are bringing stuff on themselves, right, with their choices. And yet they want to blame God for something happening, you know, and then they want to say, well, I'm not necessarily atheist or agnostic, but I'm spiritual now. I'm spiritual. It's like, your spiritual that's not a godly, in my mind, that's not what a Catholic person who embraces Jesus Christ says, I'm spiritual. No. God gave us exactly what to do. We're here for God. We're supposed to carry out God's word. We're supposed to carry his light. And you don't get it both ways, right? You don't get to your point, believe everything you've done for yourself, have pride, and yet still claim that you are a faithful Catholic. And helping people to follow God's word at the same time that you are embracing all the stuff going on in the world today. Which brings me back, you and I chatted earlier, I'm just not a believer of, gee, everything is gray, right? That's the new thing today. Well, everything is gray. You know, you got to be politically correct. You can't hurt people's feelings. I had a friend the other day say their minister said, look, you know, Jesus was very patient and kind, and he wouldn't want to, you know, he'd be praying for some of these leaders to make sure that their heart comes back to him. Well, that's true. But what do we do in the meantime, right? Are we supposed to allow, you know, a lot more of our youth to become agnostic or atheist while we're praying for them at the same time? I mean, to me, we have to take action as well. What say you?
You threw a lot at me. Let me just say, one of the things that we know about our Lord Jesus Christ, it's right in the Gospels. He didn't put up with corrupt leaders. So when somebody's saying, oh, he prayed for, no, he didn't. He didn't pray for the corrupt leaders. He didn't pray for, you know what he prayed for? The sinners that were repentant in their heart and saying, Lord, I'm a prostitute, I'm sorry. Right. He had no sympathy for corrupt leaders. None. He called them, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers, you sons of hell. Who, you know, are so I'm just saying, I'm so glad I'm not a church leader or a political leader. Because if you want to feel the wrath of God, those are the two positions he has no patience for when you're a hypocrite.
Right. Thank you.
Because you should know better. You should know better. As he says, to whom much is given, much will be expected. Another point that I'll make is that as Catholics, we have to remember, and let's not fall into this, the mantra of, you know, who am I to judge? You know, these t-shirts that you see with a lot of young people. Don't fall into that. The Bible's very clear. We are called to judge human behavior. If your son, if you walk in your house and your son is fornicating in his bedroom with his girlfriend, you can't say, who am I to judge? You bet. What the heck are you doing? Put your clothes on, you girl. Get home right now. Do your parents... We are called to judge human behavior. That's all over the scriptures. We are not called, we can't judge the human soul. I don't know where Adolf Hitler went when he died. I have a high degree of certainty where he went, but I don't know crystal clear because I'm not God. Only God knows where he went. I'm pretty sure I know where he went, but that's the type of judgment the catechism calls rash judgment. I don't know where Joseph Stalin's at. I don't know where Jeffrey Dahmer's at. I'll tell you one thing. Objectively speaking, it doesn't look good for them if they don't repent and gave their life to Christ. But ultimately, only God knows that. But their behavior, they were monsters. Their behavior was horrible. And so Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, Richard Ramirez, a night stalker, Adolf Hitler, Joseph, their behavior was horrible. And right. And if they died not repenting, they're in a very uncomfortable place right now.
I love how you said that, and I think that's a really important message for, I hope, a lot of our listeners, being parents, being brothers, sisters, or younger people, which I hope are listening. You that is one thing you hear all the time. Well, it's, you know, you're judging the person. Boy, you're awfully judgmental. And I love, I'm going to go back to something earlier said, Jesse. Right. While we don't have to be rich and all that, God did say, act like the children, right? You know, have the faith of a child. And at the same time, I think it makes people feel very uncomfortable when we remind them that God says, you're going to, you know, fewer the people, they're going to have to go through the eye of a needle, right? So he's, you know, yes, I'm thankful he's very merciful and has a lot of grace. But at the same time, he gave us talents, he gave us brains, he gave us free will. We have to live to his word. I mean, that is what we're called to do. And it says in the Bible, and that's what I try to remind people. I probably can't find the verse as quick as you can, but it says that, and remind me if I'm not understanding this correctly, but it says that we're supposed to gather a few people and go to them, right? It was an intervention. If you see something I'm not doing when I'm a good Catholic and follower of Jesus Christ, you have to call me on it. Don't you, Jesse?
Absolutely. We're called to, as the Bible says in Proverbs 27:11, iron sharpens iron and one person sharpens another. The Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, encourage one another and build one another up. The book of Hebrews says, arouse one another to the faith, to faith. And the Great Commission, go out and make disciples of all nations. So we're called to bring people to know Christ and to follow Christ. And the word disciple means in Greek to make the person a student of the master. And also talking about salvation, a lot of people are going to be surprised at the end of time because a lot of people have bought into this nutty universal salvation notion that, hey, all you got to do is be a human being, pay your taxes, breathe, have a 40-hour week job, and when you die, you're all going to go to heaven. Really? That's not what our Lord says.
Oh, wait, Jesse, you just got to be a good, you got to be a good person. Occasionally, you know, give some money to a poor too, right? I mean.
Again, there's not one verse in scripture that says you get to heaven by being a good person. Not one verse. In fact, when Jesus was asked about, are you a good person? He goes, none of you are good. None of you. He says, oh, the only one who's good is my Father. So if you want to know, like, well, I'm good. According to Jesus, he says you're not good. Okay? So because Jesus is measuring us from the standard of God the Father, who's holy, holy, holy. So when you look at good compared to God the Father, none of us rate at all. So nobody's saved by being good. You're saved by grace, the grace of God. But you can reject that grace. You can put your hand out there and say, God, I don't want your free gift of salvation. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to be a disciple. I don't want your sacraments. I don't want your doctrine. You can give God the hand. Every time Christ talks about salvation, you know, like Matthew 22:14, for many are called and few are chosen. Every single time, few are chosen. Strive to enter by the narrow gate. Very few people find it. Okay, not everybody who says, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of my Father. Every time Jesus talks about getting to heaven, he says, few will find it.
Right. I mean, we have to have the discipline. We have to be accountable, and you have to work at it. I think so many people think it should just come easy, and it's not easy. You have to be in the Word. You have to take your time, and you have to give your life to God, and you know, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, again, that sounds very arrogant of you and you're judging people. But I really think that we have to be more responsible and help people, call people to the carpet and get them, you know, bring them to the light. Like you said, show them the light, let your light shine, let your actions speak loud. But if, to your point, but if you have someone you're mentoring or you're a church leader, especially of youth, and someone comes up to you and says, well, is it okay for me to do this or okay to do this? I mean, sure, all of us sin, but you have to get them on the right path. You have to call it out and say, no, it's not okay for you to, as you said earlier, decide one day that you're going to be female or male, or, you know, or go along with this Z. I can't even keep up with all the different stuff. I had a friend of mine ask me the other day what that even meant. I can't even keep up, Jesse. I mean,
yeah, according to God, God only knows two genders, male and female. That's in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve. Everything else is a man-made invention that we are called to reject because it's a novelty, and it's a wicked novelty. And as Catholics, we are called to be our brother's keeper. In Ezekiel 3:18, the Bible says, you know, if you say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and give him no warning, nor speak to the wicked man his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked man shall die in his sin, and his blood will be in your hands. The Bible's very clear that we are called to call wicked people, sinful people. In the book of James, I think it's in chapter 5, it says, whoever calls a sinner from the error of his ways and brings him back to God will save his soul and the soul of the person that he brought back. This is a mandate, for a divine mandate, to evangelize and to save souls for Christ.
Well, the same as parents. And we're going to take a quick break here and we'll come right back. But then when we come back, we'll just we'll wrap up and talking about parenting, too. I mean, being a parent is pretty tough today, and you don't get to be their friend and their parent, which is some of the challenge. So take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Carolina Catholic Radio is excited to announce an alliance with Lisa Feely, author of An Accountable American. Her new book offers a blueprint to every person who wants to embrace how to be accountable. Learn how positively to impact your life and the lives of anyone around you. 50% of the book profits will be donated to a local 501c3 Catholic charity, including Carolina Catholic Radio and those affiliated with us. 2020 was a tough year for many people. Consider donating to charity by buying a copy of An Accountable America and just $20 on our website. Achieving accountability is a great way to start the new year. If you want to learn how to achieve enlightenment, peace, and prosperity, this is a great start. Now back to An Accountable Catholic Radio Show.
Okay, so we're back with Jesse and continuing the conversation about pride and accountability. So Jesse, what do you think? I was just mentioning before the break, I mean, a lot of parents, boy, it's a challenge. And again, not trying to pick on our colleges and universities and our school systems, but boy, what a change from when I was a kid and when you were probably a kid growing up. And we have more in common than I knew. I grew up in Southern California myself, outside of Anaheim and Sacramento. My dad was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force out there. So I'm thankful to be in South Carolina because California, boy, it's a little tougher out there. But what do you say to parents? And I'm going to separate, I guess, parents and aunts and uncles, people that are really involved in some younger people's life when they look at everything from social media, everything happening in Hollywood. You know, what insight would you offer them, Jesse, from your opinion on how do we help these young children going off to college, right? There's just an indoctrination going on.
Yeah, you got to help them incrementally. And what I mean by that, for example, a lot of people, there's steps to bringing them to Christ because our society is so secular, so worldly, so godless. One of the things that I do, and it's effective, I turn them on to young voices. Like, again, like we're talking about Matt Walsh, good Catholic podcaster, Chris Knowles, good Catholic podcaster, you know, Ben Shapiro, good Jewish podcaster, all conservatives, Candace Owens, good Protestant, good. So when I turn them on to good young people that are podcasting that have a God-based worldview, now all of a sudden their minds are open because they're hearing from people their generation. Now it's easier for me to share with them the Catholic faith, the Catholic gospel, the fullness of truth, because now they're open because their mind has been stimulated by some of these young podcasters that are out there. And they're saying, yeah, well, I never really thought about that. Yeah, if there is no God, then nothing makes sense and things fall into relativism and stuff. So that's one way. Another way is obviously, the time-tested, we got to pray for people. And your prayers are powerful when you're living in a state of grace, James 5:16. When you're living in a right relationship with God and you're praying for other people, your prayers, the Bible say your prayers have much power. So again, and if you're in mortal sin and you're praying for people, your prayers, John 9:31, they're not powerful. God doesn't hear your prayers. So make sure you're in a right relationship with God. Make sure you're praying for people's conversion. And also be intentional. Matthew 7:7, ask and you'll receive. Pray. I pray for my godson, Joey Correa, that God, you would reveal to him the fullness of truth. So it's the Matthew 7:7 principle. We have to be specific and intentional in our prayer. That specificity is powerful. And also, our prayers are very effective, according to the Bible, when our prayers come from a position of authority. Fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. When mom and dad are praying for their family tree, the kids and grandkids and their offspring, your prayers are very powerful because you have patriarchal and matriarchal authority based on God's word. And then ultimately, I think we have to go back to St. Paul talks about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, remember, we scatter the seed. Scattering is sharing God's word with them. We water the seed. That's we pray for them. And then it says, and God causes the growth. So let's keep that in perspective. We don't convert anybody. We scatter the seed, which is we share our faith. We share facts with them. We share our witness. We pray for them. That's what it means by watering. And then we leave the rest to God. As Mother Teresa said, God has called us to be faithful, not successful.
That's Hard though, isn't it? Especially as you see your children become young adults and then what they're faced with every day. I always say I am thankful that I didn't grow up with all the social media they're bombarded with today. It's kind of tough. So, well, thank you so much for your wonderful joining us on this radio show and for your wonderful wisdom. I sure appreciate it, Jesse. I love your show. Will you take a couple of minutes here and tell our listeners how to reach out to you?
Absolutely. If you want to invite me to your parish or conference, go to my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. If you want to purchase some of the books that I've written, my last two books have been bestsellers on Amazon. I wrote a book, it's called A Catholic Vote for Trump. I'll probably end up in jail behind that book one of these days. I'll have the FBI knocking at my door and saying, "You're going to jail, Mr. Romero, for your last book." And the book
Nothing Surprises Me Anymore, Jesse.
Which is, nothing. And if you want to listen to my podcast, I do two podcasts a day, Monday through Friday. You can go to another sister organization I started. It's called VirginMostPowerfulRadio.org, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, or VMPR.org, VMPR.org.
Love it. Very good. Well, I hope that my book will get anywhere near your book, but the Accountable American book is trying to, and the radio show Accountable Catholic is trying to raise money for good Catholic charities all across the country. So thanks to wonderful people like you and helping our not only our youth, but all Catholic leaders and Christian leaders to try to, overcome this divided country, right? So thank you so much. God bless. And for everyone else, please come back next Thursday night at 5 o'clock for an Accountable Catholic. This is Lisa Feely. Have a blessed week.